Now, I read an article over the weekend recently that revealed that literally hundreds of Irish people are now putting themselves forward to see if they might have autism or perhaps ADHD. They're going, putting themselves forward, probably being recommended by their GP to see if they can get a diagnosis of either ADHD or autism, or in some cases both. And most of them who do eventually get diagnosed find that it's pretty life changing. Suddenly everything makes sense about their personalities, their little quirks that they have, and everything about their lives will suddenly make sense when they get this diagnosis. Now, that was actually the case for my first guest this afternoon, the talented Killarney singer Grace Foley. And back around the time of the pandemic, Grace's career was really on the up and up. She'd already won Rotary Musician of the Year. She was in the middle of recording an album of Christy Hennessy songs. And then, just as the country was slowly coming out of lockdown, she was selected to appear on the RTE TV talent show Last Singer Standing. Don't know if any of you remember that particular programme. And this was something she really wanted to do because she had just become a mum to her little baby daughter, Anna, and she wanted to show Anna that it was so important to follow your dreams. So all that was going on for Grace. And then, just as her career was taking off, suddenly she decided to stop singing completely. And this set her on a journey of self-discovery that brought her to that life-changing diagnosis that we mentioned, and ultimately a whole new career. At the outset, Grace, who spoke to me earlier, told me about that TV experience, Last Singer Standing.
It was such a positive experience. Like, I think people think these shows can be very toxic. Now, it wasn't a reality show. There was no, like, behind the scenes of your life or anything like that. But, like, Nicky Byrne, all the cast, all the crew, everyone were so lovely. And I think we were just so delighted to be singing again. Like, that was our first chance to sing in front of anybody in a year, if not more, at that stage. More, actually.
And your singing career was very much your thing at the time.
Yes.
But subsequent to that, you sort of had a total change of heart, really. What happened?
Well, it was probably, it was going on for a long time. I studied music at college level, and something in me kind of cracked back then. I had a bad experience in college and I walked away from music. It's not something I talk about that often. I do now. And I came back to it through recording different records, trying to find my voice with different things. My voice changed. The voice changed a lot over the years, but I was still battling this crack. I used to say this is something cracked in me. But I think when I look back now, knowing what I know about myself, I think I was really struggling with being in Dublin, with that environment, with all this pressure being on my voice. And I kind of got a bit lost as a person. And it became my whole identity. Like, people would say, oh, you're the singer, which is a lovely thing. And now that I know more about myself, I could probably park that a little bit. But it was all I was. Even my husband said, but you're so much more. Like, my best friends, they care I'm a singer, but that's not our relationship. But I'm the singer. That's what I do. And I kind of got so focused on it that I couldn't see the wood for the trees. And people would say, God, you're flying. You're doing great. And I'd be thinking, not really. I always struggled to make a career out of it. But it was like chipping away at me and chipping away at my personality as it went along, because I became completely disconnected from my voice, which is the worst thing that could happen to anyone who uses their voice professionally. Like, I just felt my voice was there and I was somewhere back here and they had nothing to do with each other. That's basically what happened.
Okay. And hey, somewhere in the middle of this, you got a diagnosis that you had both autism and ADHD, yeah, which is unusual as an adult to, yeah, get that diagnosis.
Yes, it's becoming a bit more
it's more spoken common
about,
now.
More, yeah, common. I guess when I look back, I had said to my sister-in-law once, I wonder if I'm on the spectrum in some way. And I thought she'd say, I know. And she said, maybe. And she'd know me very well, you know, like, and it was in 2024, I was basically almost at the best I had been ever as a singer. I felt like I was really settling into myself. I decided to write some songs, but also record some Christy Hennessy songs. His son, Tim Ross, said he'd produce it. It was very exciting. I was recording vocals. I thought I'm in my best place ever. And I was recording Roll Back the Clouds. And it was my second day of recording. And something went, this lock came back into my body of like, I can't do it. And I thought, if I can't be happy singing this, what's wrong? It was like there was some pressure, something that just kicked in. And it was like Christy's music, that song is so kind of lonesome anyway, but like I think I was meant to sing his song that day. I think I was meant to kind of crack. And I could feel the break coming. And then I was doing a performance in Onam Arts and Cultural Centre in Killarney. And I was in the middle of singing and I felt my whole body lock up. And it was going, no, we're done. And my little girl, first time she ever watched me perform, was sitting in front of me. And they say, if you could look at your younger self, what would you do to them? And I looked at her and she's quite like me. And I said, I can't do this to her. I can't do it to her. And I knew it's done. So I actually cut that performance short. Nobody knows that. There's only a few people at it anyway, but my husband was doing sound. And I said, I'm going to finish with a poem. And he was looking at me. I'd got three songs left. And he said, oh. And I went into the little room at the side of Annam and I said, John, it's over. I'm done. That's it. So I did finish. I finished every contract I had, cancelled all singing students. I wiped the whole thing clean in 2 weeks. It took 2 weeks for me to just wipe everything. I ended
walk
the
away
whole,
from the
everything.
Singing career.
The whole music career, singing students, the lot. I wiped everything completely clean and then went to see my therapist and she was like, God. But I was very well in a lot of ways. I was kind of, this is the right thing to do. You know, and it was at the time, definitely. And then I said, I'm wondering if possibly, I said, you're going to think I'm mad now, but I wonder if I'm on the spectrum. And she said, actually, I've known you a long time. And she said, if that's the case, this could explain a lot because you'd never think it. But the minute I said it, she said, get assessed. And I was assessed. And within 15 minutes, he said, you've got ADHD, which I didn't really expect. And within, he said, you're such a performer. It's very impressive. He said, you've made me laugh. This was the psychologist, like he thought I was very entertaining. But he said, your brain's on fire. He said, you are firing on all cylinders all the time and you are autistic. And it was just, and I said, thank you. And I said, finally, everything made sense. Because I was like, that explains. And my GP was the same when I went to her. She said, congratulations. You finally make sense. You know? So, yeah.
What was it about your personality that would have autistic traits?
So, I don't like change. Even when I spoke about that RTE experience, like that should have been a killer for me. Because like it was completely unknown. New environments, new sounds, lots of people. Like even going, if I ever went abroad, people said, do you know, how do you not like holidays? I like a holiday if I'm going to the exact same place every single time. I mask an awful lot. So I had burnout 4 times, which I took no notice of, which apparently is actually quite serious. So that was because I was constantly masking. I'm fine. But I would find new environments hard. People talking in a room where there's lots talking. I didn't realize I was constantly distracted and trying to concentrate on like what you're saying or reading people's body language. When I did my coach, I know we're going to come to that, but when I did my coaching training, a lot of the training we got around reading people and, you know, mirroring people, I do that every day. I thought everyone did that. You know, aspects of what I do lend itself to other things. But when you don't know you are autistic, it's against you. When you know you are autistic, it's for you. That was the way I would put it. When you know who you are, you can work everything in your favor. And I'm much kinder to myself now.
So not liking change is one thing.
Yeah.
The masking you mentioned. What other characteristics?
I would say even more so like when I was in school, in primary school, big loud environments would be a problem. Reading people, like I can read people really quick. And if people aren't, if I think someone's not being honest or being straight, someone kind of like not being straight, I would pick it up really quick. But the negative parts are you burn out really fast because women in particular mask massively. So on a daily basis, you're smiling. If you have ADHD, like I'm not hopping around grabbing stuff. So ADHD for a lot of women is the brain never stops. So the brain is analysing constantly. But ADHD needs excitement and needs fun and needs change. And autism needs routine and for everything to be the exact same.
Well, they sound very contradictory.
They hate each other. Yeah. So you're constantly got, and I used to say to John, I'm this and I'm that. I'm black and I'm white. I'm winter, I'm summer, very much. And I'm like, I said, I really want to sing. I don't want to sing. Poor John. I think there should be a special day for John's wondering when his medal is going to go in the post. But even he said it's so much better for him as well now, knowing he would see the real. Not that I wasn't real with people, but he would say, okay, now before he said, but you're grand, you're strong, you can do this. Whereas now he's seeing I masked a lot and pretended to be okay in certain situations.
Talk to me about the ADHD side of it.
Yeah.
What characteristics would you have that would be typical of ADHD then?
That one is probably more the distracting thing. So like looking back, like did I struggle in school? I think people assume you're going to do really badly in school if you have it. But because I can never see it purely on its own because I have both going on. So like when I was in school, you could be talking and I know exactly what you're going to say. And I'm like, get there quicker. Not you particularly, you're great. But you know, people who are slow talking, it's literally like I wouldn't show it. You'd see men tend to show more physical traits of ADHD, not all the time. You see them getting restless or zoning out and looking over there. It's because the brain has decided it's not
engaged
in this. If you're engaged in something, you don't always get a hyper-focus, but I could hyper-focus on certain things. Looking back, I think I probably was hyper-focused on music, so that's probably an aspect of it. But the brain will check out. Anything being delayed, waiting for anything is really frustrating. It's actually like painfully frustrating. People think it's not boredom. It's like, get there quicker. But you don't know when it's happening. And also constantly looking for a dopamine kick. So like a lot of people will get addicted to things. So I probably got addicted to my career, addicted to, you get really obsessed over certain hobbies. So like, I suppose my hobby was my everything. So I kind of really, but you'll see a lot of people with ADHD will get a really big hobby for about 4 weeks.
And they'll be obsessed with it.
Obsessed with it. And then it's gone. I stayed obsessed with music. I would have had certain projects in that I get really interested in and then leave it. You're great for starting, not great for finishing.
And how liberating was it for you, Grace, to be suddenly, you had this diagnosis at what age were you?
That was only 2024, so I was 38. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It must have been liberating, though.
It was. The fact
and suddenly things made sense.
Everything made sense. Because you look back over your life, and as I said, primary school was very difficult for me. I started off fine. So obviously the first day, I probably found it so overwhelming that I actually was okay. That sounds really bizarre, but I went into the class. I said, bye, Mom. And I did it for a couple of days. And she said, geez, and they were expecting me to be, there was kids screaming, crying. There was kids holding onto their mom's legs. I didn't do any of that. I went in. I probably was a bit, looking back, I might have also checked out a small bit because it was probably so overwhelming. But at the end of that week, I said to Mom, I'm finished with school now. And she looked at me and she said, oh. I said, I want to go back to my nana's house where I spent all my days. And she said, oh. I said, how much longer does this go on for? And I'd say she didn't have the heart to tell me until you're 18. But looking back on that time, I cried every day. Going to school. I remember the smells. I remember the sound, the chairs creaking, pencil pairing sounding. Looking back, I could hear everything. I could smell everything. And that was constantly overwhelming. I was used to being with my nana every day in her house. I knew every smell. I knew everyone that comes in. I knew every sound.
Familiarity.
So I could see it very much. And then secondary school, which most people find harder, I was fine, I would say, for a lot of it because I found music and I found sport.
I want to come along to where you are now,
yes.
Which is you got the diagnosis, you parked the music career.
Yep.
And you decided to go and become a life coach.
I hadn't a clue what life coaching was. I kind of thought it was going to be, you can do it, let's make a list and get some goals. I kind of thought it was going to be what most people think it probably is, which it isn't. So I went to Margaret Gilbert here in Tralee, and she was completely the opposite of what I expected a coach to be. Very, very practical. She does specialise in working with neurodivergent people. So she was great. That's why she was recommended to me.
We know Margaret well.
You know Margaret well. Well, she's fabulous. She was great. And she was a huge turning point because coach's job isn't ever give you advice or tell you what to do. But from working with me, at one point she just asked me, she said, would you be a life coach? And she just said it and something sparked. She said, I think you're the right person to be a coach.
Yeah. And now you've set up as a life coach.
Set up as a life coach, yeah. And it's, all I will say is it's the most practical thing I've ever done. It's all based on, you know, you might hear the word values. I'm always afraid someone's going to tune out when they hear the word, oh, what are your values? So I'm set up now to do that. I qualified at the end of last year. I had a little cap and gown in my house. I bought it on Amazon. I did the whole thing myself. So I graduated just before Christmas and I've started working with people. I've kind of two areas of focus I'd love to work with. I'm already working with a couple of people. One is young people, young adults, maybe age 14 to kind of mid 20s. And the other is women during times of transition and change in their life. So there are very different groups, but they're, I think I have my reason for picking them.
Do you think you'll ever go back to music?
Well, I mean, like I say, I'm not doing it anymore. No one has heard me sing live since 2024. So I have not sung live in front of anyone, including family, including at a sing song. If anyone asks me to sing anywhere, I say, no, I don't do that. Like I could be on holiday somewhere in 6 months' time and there's a microphone and I just say, I go on. I'll only do it if it feels right.
Never say never.
Never. I would never say never about music. No.
Just a final question, Grace, because we have to wrap up, unfortunately. But if there's anyone out there who has any suspicion about themselves that maybe they might, like a lot of what you said is ringing true to them,
yeah.
Would you advise them to take steps and...
100%.
Yeah.
100%. What was interesting is when I've started opening up about it, I think because I'm not, quote unquote, obvious, you know, people have opened up to me. Grown men have messaged me that I've known for years, saying, "I wonder." And there's, you know, people, I've seen people starting to put the wheels in motion. If you have that wondering, but like, talk to your GP, like talk to somebody, because if there's just that little inkling that you might be, go with that. And you'll find out a lot about yourself, even during the conversation with whoever's assessing you. Like, there are, for ADHD, you do have to go to, it's very hard to get assessed for ADHD. It's very expensive. It's very hard. You probably have to go privately, but like, look into it. But it's a long process. There's a lot of questions in it, but it does reveal an awful lot about yourself. So I would recommend anyone who has that, whatever age they are. And people say, everyone's getting diagnosed these days. It's like there's different forms of cancer being found now. They've always been there, but now we know more. So like, you know, there are people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s who have always been autistic. They've always had ADHD. They have not developed this. It's not new. It's just the diagnostics have changed around it. So if you have that, if you're wondering, I would recommend 100% because it's changed my life.
And that is Killarney's Grace Foley there, speaking very openly, very candidly about what's like to be an adult diagnosed with ADHD and with autism in her case as well. And just to let you know that even though Grace hasn't sang in many, many years, to the surprise of so many people, but not to herself, she does plan to release that album of songs of Christy Hennessy's songs, which is a project very dear to her heart. And she is still writing songs, but so far she hasn't been singing. And it's strange how her life just went in a whole different direction, and she now finds herself as a life coach. But remarkable, really, how she got diagnosed, as I said, and had the courage to put herself forward and be diagnosed in her late 30s. And she's not alone. I'm just reading there while that audio was playing, very interesting piece in the Sunday Independent from just 2 days ago, talking about the surge of midlife women who are coming forward and being diagnosed with ADHD in particular, some with autism as well. And there's a great interview in the Sunday Independent with Nessa Hill, who is a barrister, and she's also CEO of Neurodiversity Ireland. And she's also the mother of two neurodivergent little girls. When they were being diagnosed, she saw the pattern of their behaviours in herself, and then decided to go and get herself diagnosed. And sure enough, she had ADHD as well. And she speaks about doing things like going to the airport without her passport, missing flights, forgetting to collect your kids from school, and constantly, as a child, constantly talking, never shutting up. These were all little telltale signs that turned out to point towards ADHD. So it's you'll probably be reading and hearing an awful lot more about that particular neurodiversity as the months go by. It seems that an awful lot of people are being diagnosed with it now and living very normal lives and doing a lot of good work as well, as Grace is. So we wish her all the very best, and hopefully she will return to singing one of these days, because she has a beautiful, beautiful voice.